we have to create the right vibe, you know, the energy, and everybody at the organization has to feel so privileged to be here. It's no other way.
Thanks for listening to the Purely Arsenal podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Purely Arsenal FP for all the latest Arsenal podcasts.
Welcome to another post-match edition of a Purely Arsenal podcast, and it's a familiar story. And I got Neil Shah here with me to discuss it. How are you, Neil?
I'm all right, but our club's in a bit of disarray at the minute, isn't it? So,
well, yeah, we've got previews. Yeah, it's not great, mate. It's not great. I've also got Michael in his cheery Christmas spirits. How you doing, Mike?
I'm all right, Jack. Just two words for you. Bah humbug.
Bah humbug. Oh, happy holidays. Oh, dear. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to try, you know, we always try and be, I think we're quite logical, at times positive, optimistic Arsenal fans, but there's not a lot to shout about at the moment. But we're going to talk about it. We lost 2-1 to Wolves at home. I think it's our third home loss on the bounce. When was that last time? Worst start since 1981, 1982 season now, is it, I think? Had a little look at, you know, a lot of the stats, you know, they sometimes back up your theory. I think the stats aren't a happy reading, and all the stats really since early on in the season have indicated that what we're dealing with here is a mid-table football team. But the question is, should we be dealing with a mid-table football team? Should we be doing better with the players that we've got? And I think that's the bigger question, and that's where we might have to ask what I think now is becoming quite a serious, worrying issue of the way the team is playing and the way the manager is setting the team up. Should we talk a little bit of lineup before we go into, I mean, we're not going to go too detailed in the game because we don't want to depress everyone again. So we'll talk more generally, but in the light, the one thing I want to ask you boys, and I'll start with Mike because Neil obviously is against all lineup questions, but is obviously he went with the back four again before the Leeds game. A few weeks back, we were all saying you've got to change things. And in fairness to Arteta, he listened to us clearly. It was us that did it. He changed it to a back four. He put three in midfield. He put Orba central, which was some of the things we were saying that needed to happen. The odd thing about it was the one of few players that really would have helped that formation happen was one of the signings in Thomas Partey, who you just felt was so different to any midfielder we had. The question I have, Mike, is do you find it strange, and now do you think he's in between a rock and a hard place a little bit, in the fact that he has changed it and he's almost, in a way, made things worse? I think it's an argument he's made things worse because even the defensive solidity has disappeared from the team, hasn't it? And I just thought, it's strange, isn't it? It's strange.
Yes, because you asked the question, it's a great question because he stuck with the three at the back, and that's the way he went. And obviously, we won the cup with that formation. And I think we were talking a couple of pods ago when we were talking about changing the formation to 4-2-3-1, and the common denominator, the key person in that would have been Thomas Partey being there for us being able to do that. So the fact that he's changed that formation without Partey being there is, well, why did he? Why has he changed it now? What's taken it, you know, him to make this decision after the international break to make this change and stick with it as well? So even if we had changed it to 4-2-3-1 with Partey in there, that's not to say things would have changed overnight. We've seen for the last 3-4 years that these players can't rely on them. You know, these players turn up when they want to turn up. Basically, I think in a funny way, the way the season worked out with the lockdown and the restart, it was like the new manager bounce started again. And then obviously that culminated in the run towards the FA Cup final, and obviously they're two big games, which, yes, the players adhere to Arteta's instructions, but those same players are the ones that have let us down. And maybe they believe their own hype, you know, going into this season. A lot of them, you know, a lot of them are part of the teams that have let Wenger down, let Emery down to a certain extent. They've won the FA Cup, you know, 14th FA Cup record, everything, you know, out of nowhere. And it seems like a lot of them maybe have drunk the Kool-Aid. They've believed their own hype a little bit, and all that goodwill which we had going into the season is all gone now because for whatever reason. I think it's a multitude of reasons, Jack, the reason why things have gone pear-shaped. The recruitment or the lack of recruitment, the lack of getting people in and out the door. I just think that, you know, the way things off the field have been dealt with Raul getting sacked or getting shifted, the other guy, contracts guy going, there's a multitude of factors, I think, and it's just a whole big pot of it, you know, which is just causing all this stuff, the way things are going. Obviously, on the pitch, Arteta's responsible for that. But yeah, the fact that he's changed to that formation with the same personnel when he didn't sort of trust that before is a bit baffling, really. Why he's done that? It's almost like you said, it's a bit of desperation. He's maybe gone for something just to sort of shock to the system a little bit. But it's not works. We haven't looked good in the last couple of games in the league. You know, I don't really look at the Europa League because of the level that we are up against. But why has he changed it with the same personnel when, you know, the man who's the key factor of that, who could have made that change of success, he's injured. He's probably not going to be available for the foreseeable as well.
Yeah, it does seem very forced. And my issue was, I mean, even in the off-season and the pre-season, Neil, we talked about, you know, we believed that this system setup was great from Arteta because we felt it was temporary, and we all felt to a certain degree he was going to change it because it was really to adapt to the type of game that we were having to play towards the latter end of last season, because we had such a hard run in and we were playing against teams that were going to clearly, we're going to have to play this sort of transitional counter-attacking style. What's incredible as well about this lineup is that the whole season, I think we're 16th on goals, shots created this season so far. The whole season, that's been an issue, a question that's been put to Arteta post-game almost every game. And he's clearly said, oh, yeah, we recognise we're not creating enough chances, we're not scoring enough goals. And in this formation, he's decided, and this is not against the player, this is against the manager, that in order to find a solution there, he's going to put Joe Willock, a player that really does not have the experience at this level, and he's literally thrown him into the position that you know, a peak Mesut Ozil was in. And he's decided that currently that's the solution, which again feels extremely forced. Would he have done that if he hadn't had a good game midweek in the Europa League? Is it really something he's been thinking about for a long time, or has he just done that off the cuff? And I agree with giving players chances, but there's a fine line between giving players chances and hanging them out to dry. And I think you can't put a player like that who's still finding his feet into a really key role, right? He's not on the fringes, and say to him, everything's going to flow through you, Joseph. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. So, Neil, I know you don't like formation discussion, but I feel we're putting far, not using the youngsters correctly, but something that might touch on, relying heavily on senior players here. In the setup, other than the Joe Willock comment, and those are the players that are letting us down the most, Neil.
They are. I just want to make sure you can hear me because I'm struggling to hear you at times. So is it all right?
My end? Good. Mike, am I good? Mike had a little bit of static on his wire, but I think everything was good on my end. Yeah.
Cool.
Go ahead.
I will for a change talk a bit about the formation. I think we spoke a lot about needing someone like Partey because of that missing link between the defence, the midfield, and the forward lineup in progressing any kind of meaningful attack going forward, and we were missing that massively. And then to try and play a system of, I guess, three or five, I guess having Partey there to protect them would kind of make sense. But the Danny Ceballos and the Granit Xhaka, because of their lack of athleticism, I guess, and the fact that they're a little bit slow, and they don't have that power that Partey does, it probably doesn't work in what he tried to do yesterday. So you're quite right, Jack, in the sense that Willock was almost a forced decision to be that man there. But I think a lot of the times from what I saw, he wasn't in the right position anyway. He was kind of always in on the sides, if anything. He should have been in the middle to be collecting crosses. And apparently we did put in a hell of a lot of crosses, but we didn't have anyone there to meet them, or we just didn't have the quality to convert them. I remember Saka had a great chance and he fluffed it. I think Aubameyang, they were going over his head a little bit too much. So that kind of would impact a player like Willock, because he has done well in the Europa, as far as I'm concerned. And I was speaking to your brother, kind of did his usual tweeting to
apologies,
me, being his usual pessimism and saying he can play better than I'll beat him. Maybe so. And he was saying, you know, you put them in the seniors and they're rubbish. You know, it's just usual. He used the word shit as always. They're all shit. Every single player, as far as he's concerned, is shit. But what I was trying to say is, yeah, you take one or two out of that B team or the Europa League team, and it doesn't seem to work with them because then they're back with this majority of the seniors. What I was seeing in the Europa League games was they seemed to be gelling together better because it was more of a mixture. And I saw, and I just felt that in those games we were pressing forward, we were more creative. And I think yesterday, it wasn't yesterday, day before yesterday, sorry, on Sunday, we badly missed Partey and we badly actually missed Pepe, because now what he'd done really is so prominent, isn't it? That the fact that he did that, made that stupid decision, got himself sent off, he's now out for three games. I'm wondering whether he would have played against Wolves. Don't know. He may not have started, but he may have featured at some point. And we badly missed him because, you know, those kind of players with Nelson, Willock, Pepe, they did tremendously well together. And I just feel that we could be throwing these kids into these games. And you're right, you're hanging them up to dry, you're forcing it on them. And the massive thing that we're missing in this whole squad at the moment in the Premiership is confidence. And if the morale isn't there, like you were saying, Jack, even if we end up 10th, you know, I know it's a progression, I know it's a step-by-step process, but if you haven't got anything to show that there is some movement towards getting the system right, which we did in the beginning, when Arteta took over, he managed to sort out the defence, the stability was there from the back, and now it seems to have stopped and it's regressed. That's what I'm seeing. It's almost kind of going backwards again. For not to mention the passes going backwards, especially Granit Xhaka and Gabriel's trying to create something. Don't forget that one. But it just seems to have regressed. And, you know, this is not going to do anyone any good. I know it's going to take a lot of time. No one's expecting miracles straight away. But we want to see something. And we've got no fight about us at all. I call it like we're almost like anti-football at the moment. It's like devoid of anything, which is equal to footy. We're just not creating anything. And that's my massive concern. And Arteta's got a hell of a lot of work to do. And I think quite quickly, but I'm not quite sure how he's going to set about getting some of these questions right.
Yeah, I mean, to trust in the process, you have to see it and understand what the manager's doing. And there was an argument all of last season, you saw it, and even if we weren't always happy with the football, you could clearly see why he was doing what he was doing and trying to get results in that latter stages after the first two losses that we had after the break, and he made the change, right? This change, as opposed to that change, looks extremely forced, and it's really taken away maybe a couple of the good things that we had in terms of sort of defensive solidity. I don't ever remember Xhaka and Ceballos under Arteta working in a back four together. I don't ever remember it. Or I don't think we've ever seen Xhaka, Ceballos, Willock, to be honest, really. But I don't ever remember those. And the reason they aren't is because, well, one, like you said, the athleticism, which will hit till we're blue in the face. But what was really strange to me was, if Elneny's good enough to be in the squad and you're going to play that system, put someone in there that's got legs at least. Take one of them out. I don't care who it is, really. And give us some legs, because we know Wolves, like Leicester, I mean, it's just all about athleticism. And we saw, you know, that through Prudence and Adama Traore, and just incredible. But before we get onto the game stuff and a bit more specifics on the game, and we talked about formation, I think he's in a real difficult position with that, because I think we're going to get to the Tottenham game and sort of predictions and stuff like that, which we're all dreading, of course. But when we get to that, I think we're all going to be in agreement that the only way here is to revert back to something of functionality, which was the back five or the back three. But I don't understand how he does that without removing credibility. And it's the same old Unai Emery story, in that once he starts second guessing himself and switching things so often, bringing Ozil back in, putting him out, Unai Emery did these same things, I think the credibility from the manager is just, it will just completely start to dissipate, whether it is already, you know, it's hard to say. But the way we're performing, there's an argument that that might be existing already, you know. So I think he's in a real tough position now, because how do you present that this change, right? It's not a quick change. It's not like, boys, we're going to just take a centre back out. It's a big change. You're saying we're taking a centre back out, putting you in here, Willock, in the hole, which we've never played for months. And Orban, we've not done this with you either, but we're going to put you central. There's so many differences there. You must have presented it as this is not a 1 or 2 week thing. This is a change for the better. This is the moment to make it. And if you reverse on those decisions now, I'm not even sure what the right decision is to do. And I think he's held himself in a real, ultimately, it might even cost him, you know, I don't know job wise, but it's going to cost him a lot, I think. But 4 minutes in, horrible. Obviously, I wasn't watching it with sound. Mike, the injury was horrible. And we know now that he had a fractured skull, Raul Jimenez. We don't know really. We know he's okay, but in terms of his future in the sport and things like that, we don't know a ton about it. Mike, just your thoughts on that, on how we reacted to that and the handling of it from a club and Luis's perspective, etc.
I thought it was handled badly, to be honest, from the way the club, the stuff that's coming out now. Arteta saying he was told that Luis passed the protocols, the concussion protocols. But I mean, I watched it without the sound, the crowd sound, and it was unbelievable. He's like someone, you know, cracked an egg. That's literally what it sounded like. It was horrific. And to see that, what worries me is that Arteta's seen that, and he's away from the situation, but he's seen that. He's seen the reaction of the players and everything else, and he's allowed Luis to go on. And I don't care, you know, you've got to look at players' welfare, especially the way things are at the moment with COVID and all that. You know, so 1 minute we're saying you've got to make sure we've got five subs. Why haven't we got five subs? And then something like that happens, and it's like, oh no, we'll keep him on. You know, it's a head injury now, but we'll keep him on. So you can't have it both ways. For me, if I was in a situation, I don't care if it was Messi or Ronaldo, if someone's got a head injury like that, he's off. You know, there's you know, because I'm sorry, it's going to happen one day where, you know, it's happened in the past, but someone's going to have a really, really tragic situation where they'll say, yeah, I'm fine, but you don't know. The guy could have a hairline, carries on, and then kills over. And we've spoken about it before a few times, Jack, about having independent doctors in situations like that. Now, they've been talking about having a substitute, especially substitute for concussion. So if it's a head injury, each team gets a sub, like a free sub sort of thing for situations like that. And I think in that situation there, is where you get the independent doctoring. You don't get the independent doctoring for a leg injury or whatever like that. That's obviously if someone's shattered their ankle or whatever, that's pretty obvious that guy's got to come off. But a head injury, for me, you've got to have an independent doctor there to have a look and have the second opinion and to see if someone's, you know, good to go on. Because, you know, it saddens me to say, but I reckon Arteta was looking at it that, you know, if we pull Luis out, he's the one that you know, gets us out. You know, he's the one that can bypass the midfield. And he was saying a couple of weeks back, you know, when he got injured against Leicester, I think it was, you know, the opportunities we had fell out, and we were relying on Bellerin then. So for me, it's a bit of a worry that maybe that's the way he was thinking. I'll keep him on because we need him. Yes, but we don't know what's going on in the guy's head. And for him to actually say, you know, I need to come off, you know, because heading the ball is not good for me. They just dealt with it really badly, and we could go on about the Arsenal medical department and the way they prepare players and the physios. Look what's happened to Partey. You know, in all the time that he's played for Atletico, what he's had two injuries that's been out 2 weeks, maybe in total 3 weeks, and now they're saying he might not be back until the new year. It's just, you know, I don't know what we're doing. But yeah, it was horrific, and obviously we, you know, sending the thoughts and best wishes to Jimenez, and hopefully he gets back. But you know, you worry about what happened to like Ryan Mason. I think when he played for Hull, was it, and he got an elbow from Gary Cahill or something like that, and he had to stop playing. So yeah, hope he recovers, but you know, doesn't sort of bode well.
Obviously, you saw it with Peter Cech with if it was Hunt from Reading, was it awful knee to the head? The concern, I mean, a lot of people cover, obviously it's really easy to comment on the site, like from, not easy, but watching from the telly and then sort of saying, well, you know, hold on a minute, what's going on here? Without being there, obviously, it makes it a little bit more difficult. But what we do know, there's a few things that we definitely know in terms of the, because we spoke about this after Bellerin's incident when he got knocked out on this podcast, and he was knocked out and he played in the next game, which was 6 days later. And protocol wise, from a loss of consciousness, that really doesn't really make any sense in terms of brain healing and things like that. So that's where I started to question things, because we've seen it with Koscielny playing on with one in the past, Mustafi as well, then was out for the next few games. I think we saw one with Murray Saka where he played on and then he got pulled out for a concussion later on. Some, if the symptoms develop later, that's possibly okay. The two things that I have the biggest issue with, and this is basically my job, so this is basically what I have to do literally every day. Obviously, I only do it at a much lower level, so like a high school level. But what amazes me is that the lack of what is done at the professional level as opposed to what's done on a freelance ability with no real funding at a high school level. And what's really easy to see from a medical personnel is just, what are we doing any objective testing? And the concern with 90% of concussions that you see is most of them fall into the gray area of they feel symptoms, but you won't recognize it. So what are you relying on? You're relying on them telling you the truth. Now, I can tell you from dealing with a 15 to 17 year old kid that isn't an elite athlete, the likelihood of them telling you the truth is still not, it's very, very 50-50. And they are not elite level athletes. So once you get higher up the spectrum, it goes, it's less likely, because there's more on the line, that, you know, there's more pressure. You know, they've played through so much in the past already. These are top level athletes, play for anything. You ask an athlete after a head incident, are they okay? They're going to say, yeah, I'm all right. But that's not an evaluation. So you have to do objective testing. And the reason we know it doesn't exist is because it's really obvious when objective testing is being done on the sidelines. And the two things they don't do is, one, take them away, right? So at the moment, it's perfect because there's no crowd there. So you could, in a way, you can do it on the sidelines. There's no real distraction in the stadium. You could take them to a corner of the stadium and do this testing. No, it's just silence. That, none of that was done, right? It was all there. It was all asked there on the sidelines of the pitch. But objective testing is things that you see. So we do drop stick testing, which is a reaction time. It's really simple. I mean, teach anyone how to do it. You drop the stick and you catch it. What's your reaction time? And some people say, well, what does that mean? Well, what it means is everyone does it before the season starts. So when everyone is 100%, everyone has a reaction time number. And if you don't meet the reaction time number, you're out, because you're not hitting that criteria. And we know reaction time's slow with concussive incidents and stuff like that. You can't lie on that. You can't speed up your reaction time. You can't lie on it. So you have to, another one is balance testing, right? You do certain sort of balance movements and you hold it for 20 second period and you see whether they hit their baseline before the season. The reason we know this doesn't happen is because you can see everything. They're not hiding. You can't hide that. That objective testing is very, very clear to be able to see, and they don't do it. And you're right with the concussion stuff. The only way it works is if you have an independent doctor. And the reason you need an independent doctor is, if you've ever watched League of Denial or the concussion movie with Will Smith, is we know that whether they're employed by the club to be the medical personnel or not, look at the Jose Mourinho incident with the Chelsea physio, right? We know that there is pressure on these physios, right, and medical doctors, right? And I'm sure they always want to act in the best interests of medicine. But we do not know the pressure that's involved in that club for certain players to be able to coexist and continue on. Look how long Koscielny played on before he ruptured his Achilles. We all knew he was having issues. He was limping for 6 months on the pitch. So, we know that the pressure is far greater at that level than it is at the level I work at. So an independent doctor comes in, no affiliation, no reason to say he's good or he's not good. And they come in and they back up your evaluation, or they say, no, it's too much of a risk. And those are my biggest issues with it. The independent, lack of independent doctor, obviously the sub should go along with that. Those two have to go hand in hand. I've listened to another podcast saying, oh, there's loads, it opens up a can of worms if you bring in an independent doctor. There is not one issue with that. That the NFL, who have just been done recently for a $750 million lawsuit because of athletes dying later in life from suicide and depression and CTE and early onset head injuries and things like that, they paid out to these athletes' families and to these players because they withheld. A lawsuit like that is going to come up in professional football if we're not careful, because we're already seeing it, aren't we, with ex players. In Alan Shearer's sort of been speaking to a lot of players that have been suffering, after the game. Neil, anything to add on the head injury? Obviously, it's horrible, and we're glad if both of them are okay. Oh, lost Neil's camera. Neil, are you there, mate? He's not. We'll come back to Neil.
I'm here.
I went to
unmute and I hit the camera on. Sorry about that. No, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I was watching, I'm sure you might have as well, Michael. I don't know if you get to see it, Jack, but match of the day too. And I don't agree with Shearer that often, but what he said about this was spot on. He just said it's got to change now, not next week, not next month, not next year. They've got to change it now. And if you see a head collision like that, you bring the players off. There's just no question. Exactly what you were saying there, Jack, that you can speak to them. They might tell you they're all right, but you know, it's still a very subjective view. And it's a very subjective decision because it's coming from the player themselves. He just said, you just cart them off. And he's saying that they were talking about trialing this concussive substitution system where a player, say for example in Luiz's case, will come off and they might take him away down the tunnel and look at him, and in the meantime you have someone like Holding come on, and then if David Luiz is, if they say from an independent perspective that he's okay to carry on, then he can come back on and they can just switch. So basically you haven't actually used your substitute, you've just had someone in on the meantime to make up the numbers, because it's not anyone's fault. It's not the team's fault. It's not the opposition's team's fault. It is just a situation. You know, at the end of the day, Wolves, as it transpired, lost a player very early on, one of their key players. Not that it made any difference to us, but, you know.
It made any difference. They still bashed the crap out of us.
Yeah, exactly. But what I'm saying is he was really angry. And you know, I don't often agree with him, but I just sat there listening to thinking, you're absolutely right, because it could cost a life. And then what you said, lawsuits and all sorts, and that's going to really bring the game into disrepute. You know, we can't, it's got to stop, it's got to start now. Why do you need to trial this?
Yeah.
You just bring people off.
You're absolutely right. And the only reason I say, like Mike said, is the independent doctor has to, I want to get back to the football, but the independent doctor has to happen with the sub, is because like anything, you can abuse it, right? You can abuse it. You can go down, you've hurt your head, mate, and bring him off. The independent doctor has to be there to not only evaluate the ones that are more serious, but also possibly the ones that are trying to flag it, all right? And you don't want either one. That's why even the NFL, which I don't like for a lot of reasons in terms of the medical handling, they're very transparent on it as well. You know, there is no transparency. We don't know. And if you don't know what they're doing, you question it more, right? So why not be transparent? Tell us about your evaluation procedure. What do you do? What do you ask? Get a medical physio on and let them talk to the telly and tell us. But what we know from Ryan Mason and the likes of these players is they've pushed since they've been out for more concussive assessment on the sidelines. So we already know there's problems and errors, but we see it in the World Cup with players getting knocked out and carrying on playing for Uruguay, and their medical team were exposed for it and all this sort of stuff. There's so much of it, and that's such a, and then you can't, like with Luis, the emotional factor for him as well. I mean, he was in tears, wasn't he? I mean, you have to, no player wants to come off. The amount of times in order for me, and it happens probably 12 times a season, to take a kid out of the game, do you know what I do? I just take their helmet away from them and I walk off the field. They can't play on. Now, you can't do that in football. But honestly, you literally have to say to them, you're off and you got no choice. And if my coach, manager, didn't agree with me one time, I'd leave the job. I really would. I'd leave the job because you have no say otherwise. And at the pro level, that was always my worry. Not that I, you know, necessarily am at that level. But the worry is the higher you get, how much say is the medical team really having with all this other stuff that's going on. And that's the real concern. But the assessment part is really odd to me. It's almost like back in the dark ages where we're just so far behind, like the assessment part. And there is no transparency on.
If you take the UK, cricket and rugby have got it. They've got strict and stern protocols. Why doesn't it extend to football?
Yeah. And
it's not difficult, is it?
No, it's very strange. It's very strange. I didn't like it. And we know now as well, if you take a player out for a head injury, they can't play the next game within 6 days, I believe. So when Arteta says, oh, it was the cut, he's, you immediately think, hopefully not, but you think, well, he's going to say that because he doesn't want to lose him for the next game. Do you know what I mean? And I can tell you, cuts don't stop people playing. If it's a large incision and the bleeding is profuse and pouring out, I know his blood was coming through a little bit, that's not stopping a player from playing. We all saw Butcher back in the day, right? You know, with the Arsenal away kit, like we said, coming down. That's not what stops you. It's internal, what we're thinking about. So it just... I think, yeah, something has to change there, and it was really concerning. What was more well, obviously not more concerning, because the injury to Jimenez was the biggest concern, but what was really concerning is they seem to react better to such a catastrophic incident to their own player than what we did. And even Mikel Arteta's comments, I felt, although very kind towards Jimenez and there's bigger things than football, I also felt, you know, was taken away from the absolute, you know, again, diabolical performance that we were putting in. Their first goal, Mike, I'm just rewatching it because I've not really rewatched the game, Mike. So I'm going back to their first goal. We didn't handle Traore at all. Handled him great last season, at the end of last season. Brought Niles on late on to really sort of nullify him even more. Had one good chance from what I remember last season, but other than that, wasn't involved. But we couldn't get Tierney. No, Jack, we couldn't get near him this game, and he was heavily involved for both goals, wasn't he, Mike?
Yeah. It's a worry that someone like Tierney, he seems to have regressed a little bit. You know, it's like he's been brought down a little bit, the level with what's around him, and didn't get really any support, to be fair. A couple of occasions where, you know, I think Xhaka came across to try and help him out and just bottled out a couple of tackles. There's one where Traore span away from him and Xhaka just, you know, he didn't even make an effort. You know, there were times when Xhaka would go through someone, you know, take the free kick, you know, reset again. But yeah, it's just a worry. You know, it's the same show. We keep saying it. We've seen this movie before, it's mad. Three home games and exactly the same performances. I can't remember the last time I got off my seat watching an Arsenal game. I don't know if you guys can. And this is going back beyond Arteta's time and Emery's time. You know, I can't remember the last time I've watched a game and thought, probably the North London derby when we won 4-2. But that was it. That's going back. That's when they had the spirit and they played, you know, for the fans and everything. And it's just a worry that both the goals are just both on our back foot. I know getting the first one, but they've just after they hit the bar, which all our players are on the heels, you know, just watching it. Just so dead, yeah, lead in the footed. And a lot of them weren't playing on Thursday, so there's nothing to do with fitness or whatever. But it's worrying because you look at the next set of the run of games coming up, and I don't know where we're going to get where it's going to come from. I don't know where the change is going to come. It's probably going to come out of nowhere. It might come next weekend, but it's bad. I mean, we're getting back to the situation where we're conceding bad goals, which we always do. The second one was a good, tiny little finish, but again, it was our own making. We were just on our heels again. But yeah, Jack, it's, I don't know what to say anymore, to be fair, because it's
the same thing, isn't it? I mean, it's the same thing where you know, in the first, what was it, 25th minute, 26th minute, they call something like that. You know, we started okay, but again, it's so hard for us to muster up a chance. It's so hard for us to create a clear-cut chance. And when we do, you know, we often miss the ball in the final third. Saka had his one from the cross. I think Aubameyang had a header that was poor. Let's touch on a little bit on Aubameyang, Neil, because I felt he got a bit better service in this game. He had a few chances, albeit still feel he's massively isolated. I'm more concerned, which I don't think any of us saw, or maybe you did, but I certainly didn't see it. I'm more concerned with his body language more than anything. You know, I don't know if you remember the incident where he went round the goalkeeper. I don't know if it was called offside or not, if it was, fair enough, but he kind of went round the goalkeeper and he was so lackadaisical with it. Just looks disinterested. I'm now quite, I mean, we've not seen him in a rut for 3 years, and he signed the contract, the big contract. And we all know what Arsenal are like with giving those out. But I'm a little bit concerned now with Aubameyang and what we're seeing here. Are you?
Mm-hmm. I am. I don't know if you saw the very start of the game where, you know, they're panning on the players when they're lining up, and his face looked a picture to me. He looked like, as you said, completely disinterested. Not the Aubameyang we've been used to. I've actually not seen the Aubameyang that we wanted so desperately to sign after he signed. I just don't. We haven't seen the same player, as far as I'm concerned. We talk about regression. He's one of the, for me, he's one of the ones that have. But I've been pointed out that I'm being very unfair, and it's not. You don't lose quality overnight. You don't lose that ability to finish. And let's be honest, he's a good finisher overnight. And it is a lack of service, but he has had chances, and he's just not. Even when he's not been through on goal himself, when he's had a chance to pass it onto another player, he's just completely fluffed it. I saw that on two or three occasions, and he's just not giving that same body language. We've always been used to over smiling and getting involved and running around with energy, and something about him that, you know, just says that if nothing else, he can create something at any one moment. He might be able to turn the game around for us. And I've just not seen that in the last few games. I mean, he's only scored, is it still two goals? Since
Gabriel's got more than
right?
him, isn't he? I think Gabriel's scored more this season, or same amount or more.
Well, you know, I mean, I know lots of strikers go on barren spells. It happens to the best of strikers, I know, but it's just his body movement, his positioning, everything just doesn't seem to be what his trademark Aubameyang. It just seems to have disappeared. And it could be the people, or it could be the person, it could be the way the team's set up. I don't know. I don't know what it is. He had some games where he formed a great partnership with Lacazette. That's been on and off and off. It's just that it seems that Arteta is chopping and changing so much now. The players are not having any stability and having the similar or familiar players around them to be able to form some kind of bond, to form some kind of relationship. It's just too chop, change all the time. Literally, game to game. This was very Emery-esque, if I remember correctly. It's just not finding the right balance. The cohesion isn't there. And it is worrying for me that, are we now looking at a player who's thinking, I want to leave at the end of the season? I don't know. It just doesn't seem interested at the moment. It could change overnight. You know, James seems to think we're going to batter Spurs because he says, no, it's going to happen. And, you know,
I can confirm that will not happen. Whatever happens, this is breaking news. That will not happen. I'll sit here next week, and battering is not in our makeup. The only thing we're battering is some fish, right? Later on, we are not going to batter anyone.
Probably do that poorly as well.
So, and I'll tell you, from the looks of things, Willian batters a bit too many fish. I'll tell you, and he's downing them a bit too quickly for me. Willian and Laka, go on, carry on.
Can I just expand it a little bit further than the Aubameyang? I'm a little bit worried about not just the Aubameyang, but a lot of the personnel. And I'm just thinking, is this something to do with our good friend Ozil and the way he's been treated? Is this something to do with Guendouzi, even Torreira? And players of that that kind or that type, where the other players who are in the squad, who make the team, have seen how they've been treated. Is it almost like a fear factor, or is it because they're upset about how they've been treated, or is it a combination of the both? You know, I just don't feel that our players have been given the freedom to express themselves on the pitch. I'm all with the stability and the structure. We have to have that. But has Arteta gone too extreme with it? And then they're not given that enterprise and that industry to sometimes just free themselves up a little bit and play the way they want to. Because from that, that's where you get the creativity. That's how I see it. I'm not a footballer of any kind, but that's how I'm just seeing it from a psychological point of view. And is there a combination of these factors which are playing on their minds? Because I just don't see it from Aubameyang. I see Xhaka's regressed. You know, he was a little spell where Arteta came along to the club. He turned him around from wanting to leave the club, and he became an all right player. Come on, we've all got to agree with that. He became an all right player. And all of a sudden now he seems disinterested. I didn't see him look interested at all yesterday.
Yeah,
so it's not just Aubameyang.
Two things with Aubameyang is he had five shots yesterday as well, Aubameyang. So in the argument that, you know, he doesn't get any chances yesterday, I think it's a little bit far. Now, not all of those were great chances, but a couple of them I think he should have done a lot better with. But with Xhaka, I think one, he knows he's not first choice anymore. He knows he's not first choice. And I think that plays into it. But also in a back four, with a sort of three midfield setup, he just is, and the second goal was the epitome of this. He just exposed. He plays cowardly. When the ball's there to be met, he just retracts 10, 15 yards. He doesn't engage at all, and he's the epitome of that. And that draws out to the whole team, doesn't it? With the way we've defended against Villa, and in this game, we just get everyone behind the ball, but no one engages. And I think Neil's popped out and he's going to pop back in. Here we go. But Mike, let's talk about the manager, mate. I mean, we got Arteta in and we believed in the project. We got two and Neil here. Two. So we talked about the manager, Mike, and but are you believing in the project? Obviously, I'm not going to argue. Four months ago, we were all singing his praises, said fantastic job that he's done. But where are you at, Mike, with this manager? Where are you at? Positionally, I'm not that bothered at this point, in the sense that I don't really think there's a lot in this league season for us anyway. What really concerns me more is, should we be being outscored by the likes of Brighton and Crystal Palace, with all due respect? Should we be sitting on a -2 goal difference? Should we be sitting in 16th place for shots created? What we're seeing, no one can convince me that this is how bad these players are, because I don't believe it. I tweeted earlier that Wenger's last season, he had 74 goals in his last season. And I think there's a big argument to say Arteta has better players on paper at his disposal than Arsene Wenger did. So, and we're on course for 38 goals this season. So I know it's early days, but like you said, there's no metric there to show us that. It's not that we've been unlucky. I know Arteta says it. I mean, I can't listen to his comments anymore because it's frustrating me. But where do you stand with this manager and the process, if you like?
Just before I go on to that, ask that question, Jack, I wanted to pick up on what Neil said earlier about Aubameyang and the possibility of Ozil being a bit peeved off. I think also Socrates as well, because him and Socrates are pretty tight. They used to play together, obviously, at Dortmund, and he's seen him maybe phased out, not playing as well. I think when things are going well, they don't care about things like that. If he's scoring, he doesn't care about that. But when things aren't going well, those things start to eat away and start to ebb away at you. And you're thinking, well, why isn't he playing? What's going on there? If he's banging in goals and we're winning, that's not even up for debate. But as soon as things start to go well, all those little things, his mate Lacazette isn't playing now as well. You know, so little things like that start to, and it's pathetic, really. You know, you should just worry about doing your job and doing what you're paid to do well, being paid well to do. But it seems like that could be another factor. Going on about Arteta. I think I said to you guys in the WhatsApp group, the Arsenal manager's job shouldn't be an apprenticeship. It shouldn't be for someone to learn on the job, especially where we are at the moment, where we are supposedly in the standing of the game of the world game. If you can put someone in there inexperienced, if you're going to have someone who's going to throw money at the situation. As such, like, you know, down the road with Chelsea, look what's happening with Abramovich. You know, he's only got a couple of years on Arteta in terms of management experience, but look, he's just chucking money at it and look at what he's doing. But for me, it's like because it's his first job, he's really sort of like micromanaging the whole situation now. We see that even more in little things coming out on the sidelines, the way he's talking, he's literally dictating the whole game. I think there was a situation in the Leeds game where it looked like Xhaka had the ball. He's about to do a pass and Arteta got on him, and it looked like Xhaka actually turned and remonstrated with him. He's like, say, look, what the hell, you know, do you want me to do, sort of thing? So there's that aspect of it. I think he's been let, again, as I touched on before, I think it's a combination of things. I think some of the players aren't good enough. Some of them have checked out, just going through the motions. But as you said in the WhatsApp group, Jack, you've got to be doing one of two things. You've got to have the performances to hang on to say, look, we're playing well, but we're just not getting the results. Or you're winning games and you're not getting the result, you know, performance wise, it's got to be one of the two, and we're not doing any either. You know, we're not playing good football. We're not getting the results. There doesn't seem to be any philosophy now, because the philosophy was three at the back and playing out the back and everything. For me, I think the whole situation is the ball's not being moved quickly enough. It's so pedestrian. It's so slow. It goes to Xhaka. He plays it back and then it goes to Dani Ceballos. He takes a couple of touches. He pivots all around. Then he plays it wide and then it goes wide again. There was a stat on Twitter where it showed a map or a network or something, and it just shows you all the passes. And it was like that. It was the pitch was there and the passes was just going all like that. Aubameyang's in the middle. There's nothing there to him. I just think if you've got the ball's got to be moved a lot quicker. And I think you've got players in the squad who can possibly do that. I think the younger players probably Emile Smith Rowe could possibly. You saw that when he came on and he set up the goal for Balogun. You know, just that run going forward. When he came on and Nelson came on, they were just running. They were going forward. They were going beyond the ball. You know, I just think we've just got to move the ball a bit quicker. We're not moving it quickly enough. And with those two in the middle, they just want to take too many touches. And by that time, whatever space Aubameyang has got to run in or Saka, it's gone. You know, because Aubameyang could go long, Saka could come short, he picks it up, and then, you know, it just opens things up a bit. But it's just too timid. It's like watching a game. It's like watching chess at the moment with Arsenal. It's just so, you know, you can go out of the room, you can go make a cup of tea, come back in again, and you know that the ball's still being, you know, divvied all around at the back. It's just there's nothing going that way. There just isn't anything going that way. And I think that's down to what he's got, the personnel. They can't do it. So maybe you just got to be, you know, have a bit of confidence in yourself and just put one of these kids in, you know, reward them. If they play well on set of Thursday, reward them, put them on the bench at least. Don't just drop them out. Don't just dump them out of the squad and let them watch it, you know, on TV. That's ridiculous. You know, reward them. You know, just have that little bit of injection, because that's the same thing what happened to Saka last time. That's how Saka got his opportunity. He was thrown in, and people were wondering, "Oh, let's see what this kid's got." And he took it. He took his chance, and look, the rest is history. So I don't know, man. The sad thing is, he'll change it. We'll probably have a decent performance on Thursday, score a couple of goals again, get excited about the kids, and then against them, he'll revert to type. He'll probably play Lacazette up front with Vinia, and it will just be the same, you know, by the numbers football, you know, and then we'll get done, I think.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd like to really run over.
Yeah, sorry. So, your wire's rubbing a little bit, but everything you said was...
Sorry, mate.
No, it's all right. I do the same thing when I'm excited. Well, not excited, just frustrated probably more. But you're right. But it's so obvious, the moving of the ball slowly. It's so obvious when you watch a team like Wolves, who are just one and two touch. And, we our first touch, I don't think I've ever seen an Arsenal team with this amount of players with such a poor first touch, you know, to be able to get it out of your feet and make that pass quickly. It's just incredible to me, like, especially in the centre of the pitch, to have those players. And that are so poor on the ball. I don't think we're a very good footballing side, and that's what really worries me now. I think that's why I'm nervous. You know, you don't have confidence in the footballing and technical ability of the players that you have. And we spoke. I don't want to speak about too much about Özil till January, when clearly he'll come back into the team and be captain. But with Özil, I was kind of pleased that he removed him, because I just felt it showed such confidence from the manager. But that was at a point when I really believed in maybe, you know, what the manager's intentions was, and what he had a belief about the way this team might actually fill that void. Now I'm seeing, you know, that he has no answer for that. And players are naturally going to go, how is this boy who's won the World Cup and everything else not at least in the squad? And I think, you know, in that sense, removing him entirely from the 25 is going to massively backfire for him. When you know that the likes of Cedric and Mari have not played 1 minute of Premier League football, but they are in the 25, and you've removed Mesut Ozil from it, you could see players going, nah, that ain't right. Do you know what I mean? So even if you just had him in around the group and he was, you know, maybe you dropped him from the odd squad, but you had him on the bench, I think the morale, it shouldn't affect the group, but we know what this group's like. We already know that this group, and for all the question marks I have over Arteta, when this group decides they want to let a manager down, they're gold medalists at it. They are Olympic champs at it, aren't they? They did it with Wenger. I still haven't forgiven a lot of them for downing tools completely with Wenger. We all know they did it towards the latter end of his reign, even if it was the right time to go. Did it with Emery. And the problem is, if that's the case and they are doing that, or there's no way back for him. There's no way back for him from that, because the likes of Luis and, you know, Xhaka and even Aubameyang, you know, so if that group becomes sort of against you and toxic, I don't think there's a way of turning that round. We don't know it's at that stage yet. We hope it's not. Sorry, Mum. Yes.
Sorry, I just wanted to say, what do you think happened in the dressing room afterwards when they had to get someone out to talk to the press? How do you think that went down when they all said, you know, you probably said, oh, I'm not doing it. Or, you know, who sort of said, okay, Joe Willock, you go out?
That's
to
terrible.
Actually have that conversation. You know, you've got four or five senior players here, and then they say, oh, send the kid out.
That's terrible.
So that's exactly what you're talking about in terms of the mentality and the players, you know, just how they are, you know, when the chips are down, you know, that's it. They don't want nothing over it. But you know what's going to happen on Thursday? You're going to have all the photos on the page, you know, on the website, training and everything, all smiling and laughing with some situation, and they're all going to be there laughing and stuff and everything like that. And then all the tweets will come out, oh, game day, you know, big game and all that rubbish. But the fact that after that performance, they send out Joe Willock to talk to the press after that, you know, like, come on, man, that's alarm bells, man. That's massive alarm bells ringing there.
Where's your captain?
Unforgivable.
Where's your 350,000 a week captain? Where's he hiding? Do you know what I mean? Where is he? I mean, stand up. You're happy to take, you know, the conversation when you've gone and won us the cup. So you've got to be taking it here. And, you know, fans want answers, and fans want to hear. They don't want to hear from Joe Willock. It's not fair on the lad. It's not fair on him. He's being hung out. Like I said, that's another example, just hanging out. He played 90 minutes as well. And, you know, it wasn't the environment to play him in 90 minutes. We weren't creating. We weren't succeeding. We were struggling. We were all over the place. And I know we put a little bit of pressure on second half, but really, they sat off massively, Wolves, and said, come on to us, show us what you've got. A bit like Leicester did, to be honest. And they knew full well we didn't have anything. So I think, I agree. I think that's the disgrace from the group, the collective, to say, you know, we're sending out this young lad that's just popped into the team for a couple of weeks. He's not responsible for what's happened since the start of the season. He shouldn't have to answer these sort of tough questions. And the media, you see with Klopp and even with Mikel Arteta, that they're hitting you with harder and harder questions, which I like. But it's not for Joe Willock to have to handle at this point. He's not a leader in this team yet or anything like that. I think that was disgraceful, to be honest. And it says a lot for the mentality of the collective, don't it, really? That's the worrying part, really. It just says a lot. But we've seen it all before. And obviously, got a goal back with Gabriel. Good to equalise. Gabriel, obviously, I think he's been the one sort of shining light throughout the whole season. Well, maybe not the one and only, but just certainly been probably right up there. And it's definitely a very, very good sign in him. And I thought he was still relatively good all game, just irrespective of the goal. I thought it was still pretty good all game yesterday. Neil, would you think, I mean, well, obviously, where do we go from here, really, mate? I mean, we're 2-1, we're 14th, 15th in the league. It's really hard. I know it's early days, but it's really hard to see our next five games are what? Tottenham, Southampton, Everton, I think it's City, Burnley. Like, that's not the right order, but that's kind of what we're looking at. Maybe Chelsea's in there too in the next five or six games. No easy games because we're at a useless, but really hard to see on paper games that we can win with the way that we're playing. How does he go into a derby game, Neil? On the back of just terrible run that performance wise, result wise, we're really struggling. But what we can't, and I'm not going to say the name, but we can't deny is they are all having an opposite effect over down the road. And this game is important for more than just our own difficulties. And it's concerning, Neil, and I'm worried about it.
Not the only one. My positivity is completely gone at the moment. how he sets about going through. I think one thing that he's got to do is just take one stage at a time. He's got to just look at the next game in front of him. We can't think, oh my God, we've got such a massively difficult run and how are we going to cope with everything that's going on at the moment? We just can't afford to do that. We haven't got the capacity to do that. We have to look at each game in isolation and maybe even treat each game as an FA Cup final. I don't know, but in terms of setting up, he's got to change. I mean, Tottenham are going to rip us to shreds if we're not careful. And when would I ever have said that in my lifetime of supporting Arsenal? Never. It's got to a stage where the gulf. I'm still going to oppose anyone who says there's been a shift in power. There's no shift in power. You just have to look at our history and our success compared to theirs. It's not about that. What it is about at the moment is, as it stands at the moment, there is obviously a gulf between how they play and how we play. And you know that they're playing without fear, and they're playing exactly how I guess we want to play. I mean, albeit being managed by Mourinho, who's completely in that the official, the master of anti-football. So it's quite surprising to see that. But at the end of the day, how we go and set about this? I mean, Pepe's not in this game either, is he? So he's not going to feature. There's no Partey. What does he do? Does he bring Elneny on? Does he try someone? I don't think Xhaka and Ceballos are going to work. We've seen that that's not going to work.
Can't play that combination again.
No. So let's bring out Elneny in. I don't know whether he reverts to a three or a five. I will be shocked if Luis plays. So who does he play? He's got to bring Holding in. Gabriel. I don't think he should tweak it too much because it's what you're saying about the credibility issue. And then again, there's going to be another chop and change from one game to another. None of the players are going to be able to gel. It's so difficult, Jack. I don't know, because if he then says, well, Oba in the middle didn't work, let's push him back to the left and bring Nketiah or Laka in the middle. You know, it's just clueless. It just gives out this massive indication that now, from a manager that we thought he's got everything so worked out, so intrinsically worked out with everything he's doing, with pushing this club forward, is now almost completely bereft of ideas. He doesn't know what to do. I mean, that meme or that video where he's actually, is it with Ceballos, isn't he, on the touchline? And he's almost like, when he's explaining him to what to do, and he's like, he's put his hand on his head. He's almost like, I don't know.
Go back into your own area.
Oh my God. It's really giving out a very negative message, not only to us as fans, but the opposition are loving this. They're lapping it up. They're probably thinking, you know, we're going to be playing a team that is absolutely clueless of how they're going to set up, how they're going to play, how they're not going to play. It was more apt, I would say, because we're just not creating anything. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Maybe Marcus got a better idea, but I just think the main thing is confidence. He's somehow, in the space of now and Sunday, he's got to basically gather everyone together, G them up somehow, try and emphasise the importance of a North London derby. Just take it as a one-off North London derby and the importance of that. Treat it as an FA Cup final and somehow get into their psyche and say, this is such an important game for you as an individual, you as a collective, and for the club and the fans. And we've got to show everyone out there that we are not scared and that we will give everything we've got. Even if we lose, I want to see a damn good performance. I want to see at least try. But
I expect us to raise our game somewhat. I mean, I expect even this despicable group can raise the game somewhat. Every now and then you stop and then speed up. It's a bit weird on your end, Neil, but it's still, I'm able to hear you, but every now and then there's a stop. But I think we're getting through most of it. But let's do a few... difficult loss again. It's going to be really difficult. Amazing that Niles again wasn't in the squad, though. I in my head, I strongly believe he could even start next week if he does decide to revert to the sort of you know the cup winning kind of setup. But again, if he does that, he's got a hell of a convincing to do to the group to say, oh, by the way, boys, time to go back to what we were doing previously. Okay, I just don't know how he presents that to the group and buys them all into it again. They should be able to do it, but this is not a group. This is a group that you know lets you down time and again. So it's not just him. Another thing going back on that, me and Mike, we were talking about the manager thing, and the problem is the club have basically promoted Mikel Arteta very, very early. Whether it was you know that or give him a new contract, and they decided, but they promoted him into this coach to a manager position, giving him a lot more responsibility, which we all agreed with at the time. But then in terms of things getting this bad this quickly in terms of the way we're playing, I think it makes it more difficult. We're not dealing with an Unai Emery sort of manager where he was clearly quite distanced from the board level. We're dealing with a guy that's, you know, only recently we've seen interviews with Edu and Arteta and how closely they are working together, and whether that structure really is above Arteta to make a decision. Anyway, my strong belief is unless it gets absolutely terrible, things will probably be evaluated at the end of the season. And I'm not, to be honest, even sure much would change at that point, depending on what happened. I'm not sure. I think we've bought a lot into Project Arteta, to be honest. I think the club has, and I can't see. I mean, you remember with Emery how long it dragged out with him, and he was on his final year of his contract. He was on his final year of his contract, Unai Emery. It dragged, didn't it? Dragged. I mean, we really made it as late as we could, and that was with fans in the ground and that all that pressure. You know, it just doesn't feel like the club will kind of sit and be thinking about anything like that at this point. And maybe they shouldn't be. Maybe we need to believe it. We need to go through a process like this. The concern is, if it is a process, then, and it's a long-term project, why are we making short-term decisions? Why are we making short-term decisions on 32-year-olds like Willian, who are undroppable seemingly no matter how they play? And, you know, even you could argue, you know, the Aubameyang contract and the continuation of a Luis contract rather than blooding a Saliba. You know, you're making a lot, and that, a lot of that's down to Arteta. So he's the one that's pushed for those things because he's come out and said it. So that's where we're getting very mixed signals about what the kind of the process is as well off the pitch. But some question, Sean Minto at Minto Sean, good man, at Minto underscore Sean says, questions need to be asked of all Aubameyang. I've let it go and supported him, but something's not right. And we've discussed this, so we won't go over it too much. But it is incredible that I think at this stage, a bit like Willian, who was subbed, that there's this unwillingness to even sub Aubameyang off when it's just clear that he's way out of form. And I understand there's no goals in this team, so the reluctance. But I don't know. I'm not sure what message that sends either to the whole group. But maybe he just doesn't feel like he's got that in the bag yet. But and Mike, Bobby at Bob Lex Top Man says, with the potential of fans being allowed in the stadium, would you want to go and watch it with this current form? Would you go, Mike, if you got a ticket on the ballot?
Can I phone a friend?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, probably. I'll probably go to. I think they need to. A lot of these players need to get a dose of reality, I think, and maybe even Arteta in that instance. Would they be able to get away with a lot of the performances they've been putting up with a crowd behind them, with you know, the usual Arsenal moaning, groaning, you know, when the pass goes astray, you know, the big groan goes up. Would they be able to deal with that? Would he be able to then change things to make us more on the front foot? You know, we saw it with Emery, didn't we? We didn't sort of react until we went a goal down or our backs were against the wall, and then still you had the stadium wasn't full, was it? It started to empty out quite a lot, especially towards the end before he got sacked. But so I'll go obviously as a fan, but I agree with you with what you said previously about Arteta. I think we know that there's we need to weed out a few players, and it's good that maybe what is it, 4 or 5 go at the end of the summer and end of the season because of the contract situation, and I think the club have invested heavily in this project Arteta, and they're going to back him. So unless it goes absolutely tits up in the next 2 or 3 months, and that is including the Europa League if we get turfed out of that, and then, you know, I think the writing will be on the wall then. But I think he'll still be here into the start of next season, definitely after two more. Well, that would have been 2 more transfer windows. I'll be there.
You'd be there? Good, man. No, that's what being a fan.
If I was lucky, I think there's probably about, there's 2,000 tickets?
Yeah,
if you go by Twitter, there's probably about a million. I think there's, about a million fans have got tickets at the moment. So it's like Anfield all over again, isn't it?
I noticed that. What would you say if what we're saying is right and we're going to trust in the process more, which I'm fine with in a sense. Do you see him being backed in January then, Mike? Going into the window.
I think your boy.
Fabio. Me and him are like that.
He's come out. He said something about us doing something really big in January.
At least what you don't want is the middle ground, right? What they did with Emery, really, which is, we're not going to really do anything. We'll get Suarez, who's injured, on loan, and we're not going to touch him. Because it's clear that we need more. We also need to sell more. So we want to see both ways. But we clearly didn't achieve all we wanted to do in the summer window. And I know January's hard. But let's face it, January's not impossible. We've seen Wenger do it. I think Reyes had a buyer. I think they were January signings. I might be wrong. Yeah. I think even Arshavin might have been. So it's possible. So my goal, I think there's three options here. You know, one, when it goes really bad and he's sacked. Two, we don't do anything, we keep him and we try to create this internal solution of recalling Ozil or bringing Saliba into the squad, which some of those things I wouldn't necessarily be against. Or three, which I hope is probably the latter, is that he's done enough to be there still, and we back him with at least one signing in an area of need, and I think we all know where that area is. So that's the hope. If the club's really there, they've got to go fully into it. Don't be halfway into it, because that, I don't think that helps the manager or anyone else. So it's important. Melvin Marks, good man Melvin, it's important a manager can trust his players. Name any that you believe he actually trusts. Neil, who do you reckon? Good question. Willian's one of them. There's no question Willian's one of them. I mean, he trusts him. We don't know why. We don't know who you know, we don't know how much money he's into Willian for, but we know he trusts him. Willian's obviously buying the restaurant in Dubai with Mikel.
That made me laugh.
Just a backstory. But who do you think? I mean, who is he putting faith in? Who does he really believe can get him out of this mess, really?
Well, that's a toughie. Willian, I guess. I mean, he's keeping face with his cat, faith with his captain, as we touched on. So Aubameyang's another one. Tierney, Louise, the defence, Gabriel, and quite rightly so. I think he does trust a few players. It's a tough question. I think everything has got so complicated overnight for Arteta. And, I just don't know whether he's coming or going at the moment. I don't know whether it's about trust. Yeah, I mean, he does appear to have favourites. The midfield, he's kind of chopped and changed, so we don't know what his favourite midfield is. I mean, if Partey wasn't injured, I'm sure Partey would be featuring. He forked out a hell of a lot of money for him, and he's a damn good player. He's obviously given Willock a go, so he's tried that out. I don't know. It's a good question, but I think it's a tough one. Bellerin is playing. Obviously, Cedric hasn't featured, and so obviously Cedric isn't on his plans, maybe just as a cup player. So Bellerin might be someone he trusts as well. So I don't know. I'm really struggling to answer this. Leno, definitely, because he didn't keep Emi.
Yeah, that wasn't an error, was it?
Emi's gone. Exactly. He obviously trusts Leno, for sure. Leno did make one kind of good save yesterday, but I'm going to say it again, and people can kill me for it, because it's the past, but that was a mistake. I wanted both of them to stay, and I wanted Emi to be the number one, and what a mistake, because he for me marshalled that defence very, very well, and he talked to them, and he commanded it. He was a captain in his own right. And Leno, unfortunately, I've got to admit, I wasn't so sure when James touched on it a few pods ago, and I wasn't quite sure that he was wrong about it, but I hadn't seen it. But now I'm convinced he doesn't have the vocals at all. And he certainly doesn't communicate with Louise enough So there's a problem there. But he definitely trusts Leno for sure, because he kept him and he kept faith in him. And he's almost all but said that he's my number one. I just want to touch on one other thing, though. I'm struggling with Melvin's question. Sorry for Melvin. Thank you for asking. But I just wanted to ask you guys something that really affected me, and I mentioned it on the WhatsApp group, was this statement that Arteta made about his sacking and his inevitability.
I can't...
I'm really sorry to say this, but in any job, if I was in my job and I went on Twitter and I made a comment like that, I think my colleagues and my bosses would not be very pleased. I just find it so negative. It's beyond, but it's almost like a get out clause. Oh, well, you know, I could be sacked tomorrow, so I could be sacked next month, could be sacked next year, or I might leave. It's just sending out the complete, you know, he came into this club to do a job and he was so for it. You could see the animation. You could literally see his aura. Everything about him was, I'm here, I'm Arsenal through and through, and I'm going to change everything. It's going to take time and it's going to be progressive, but we are going to get there. And now all of a sudden he's making like a, out of nowhere, a statement, and at completely the wrong time as well. At a time when we need solidarity from everyone, and that starts from the top, that starts from the manager himself. And he's coming out with something like that. What does that say to all the other players? What does that say to the youngsters who are trying to break through? It's like, oh God, you know, my manager said that he could be gone tomorrow. And he's almost like, life moves on. I was bewildered. I was fuming when I saw that. I was fuming. I thought it was fake. I didn't even know it was true. But obviously, he has come out with it. And I'm flabbergasted. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, I don't see how that's productive. I don't see how that helps anything. Yeah. And I also, yeah, you never want to hear that. You want to know that the manager, like Arsene Wenger, you always knew with Arsene Wenger, no matter how bad or good it was, he cared as much as you did. He cared about as much as you did, right? And that when he lost that job, it wasn't about, I'll move on to the next one, or I'll take the money that's left on my contract, or whatever. It still hurts him when you watch him. It still hurts him. And with Arteta, a lot of the reasons I think we back him more than Emery is because we feel that attachment to him, and we feel that, you know, that affiliation with him, because he's an Arsenal player, and you know, he came through the club and he seems very thankful for coming through the club, and his communication was absolutely fantastic from the start. So I agree. I just don't see where why the need to say something like that. I know he's getting asked the question. He's getting asked the question, you know, are you worried about your job? But there's just a better way of handling that. Just like there was a better way of handling his comments on Pepe last week. And I think it's all just indicating the pressure is building onto a manager that is still, like Mike said, learning on the job, which is not something we should be doing at Arsenal Football Club. I did get one question. It's a tough one for you, Mike. At @slick_726, do you think there's more chance, and you know what my answer is for this, there's more chance of us getting into a relegation dogfight than challenging for a Europa League place? Do you agree? If no, what have you seen that makes you so optimistic? Help me, he says. Arteta out as well, he says. Thanks for that, mate. Okay, go on.
I think... The way this season has gone, and even the result tonight with Fulham beating Leicester, it just shows you you're going to get surprise results. You're going to get one or two teams going on a little bounce, maybe two or three wins, and that just whoosh. I think if we'd won at the weekend, I think someone was saying we're 6 points behind Chelsea or something crazy like that.
Oh yeah, we would have been close to sixth, I think, if we'd won.
Yeah, so I think there's that. With the season being the way it is, also the fact that we'll have players, you know, hopefully Martinelli will be back in, and if he's anywhere near what he was before, hopefully he'll bring a little bit of spark of creativity and endeavour in the last third, and a bit of, you know, be a bit clinical, obviously. Obviously Neil's boy, and if one of the other youngsters gets their opportunity as well, and if we are serious and we go for this Szoboszlai in January, you know, if we don't get him in January, we're not going to get him, because, you know, he's going to play in the Euros for Hungary. They're in the group of death. If he plays well against France, against Germany and Portugal, if he plays well in those games, his price goes through the roof. And then obviously everyone else like Bayern or whatever, you know, the worry is someone like Bayern might get him in January and say, oh, we'll let you stay with your club because we don't need you now, you know, and then they'll get him in the summer. And apparently there's a 25 million clause, which we can probably do a deal with. That's the sort of guy that we would need. You know, he goes like that and he's very direct. So there's that option. The January window said that's the reasons I'm optimistic, because of a couple of players maybe coming back the season the way it is, being as bonkers as it is, and hopefully us addressing, as you said, Jack, we know what we need to do. We need to get someone in there creative, and whether that's getting Ozil re-registered or actually going out and getting someone, I think that's only glimmer of hope at the moment, really. And Partey hopefully coming, getting fit and not getting injured for the rest of the season.
Yeah. But, yes. It's sad that, you know, the transfer window's over and a month later we're already talking about it again. But it's literally, you know, it's more exciting than watching the football every week, is thinking about who we might sell or sign. And if we need to raise 20 million, I mean, you go through the team and I can't see how we can't raise 20 million, even with this bunch of absolute useless toilet. But yeah, like, we've got to be out of range.
Chance Maitland-Niles will probably get that himself.
I mean, yeah. I like Maitland-Niles, but why keep him? Why did we keep him? I mean, we're not even putting him in the squads. Yeah, and if our intention is to, if we don't believe he can play fullback, then you're just dealing with another, you know, fit Kalashnikov, aren't you? Like, that's what you're dealing with, right? If you don't, I don't necessarily believe that, but if that's clearly what Arteta believes, how did you convince him to stay? We could have got 20 million for him then and got our creative player in. I know he's a, you know, he counts as a homegrown, I believe, right? Because he's over the age. But again, just before we get predictions, I don't even know we're playing in midweek. Is it Vienna? Was it Vienna? I don't know. Is it Vienna? Is it? It's at home, yeah. And Balogun. Just a quick thing on Balogun and what you think might happen. Obviously, didn't play much in midweek, but he's got his goal. Lovely little turn and finish wasn't great, but my argument is you can't sign Balogun and keep the other youngsters that are in his position. That's my argument. That's why I kind of go on the Eddie Nketiah, maybe it's time bandwagon, which is a bit harsh on the player that's only played 30 times for Arsenal. But at the same time, he's come out and said he really wants Balogun to stay and he believes Balogun will stay. So the intention's there, obviously, to try and sign him. Now, whether we do or not is another thing. What's your thoughts on how we should or handle a player like that who effectively can be talking to anyone in a month's time?
We have to keep him. For me, we have to keep him. I saw him come on and do some more than what I've seen a lot of our strikers have done collectively in the last few games in like 2 minutes. There's something very, very special about him. I think he's got the physical strength. He's got what you want in a forward. I think he's looking to always score. He's got that prowess for goal scoring. And if we can muster the likes of him and Martinelli, you know, the future looks bright. Sorry, James, but it's because of the congestion, I would say we need to get rid of Lacazette. We need to get rid of Nketiah. Lacazette maybe in the summer. Nketiah maybe even sooner. Who knows? And then by getting rid of Nketiah, maybe. I don't think it will happen, but I'm just saying, just hypothetically, that might free us the funds to get the player that you were kind of talking about a few moments ago. But for me, Balogun, he gives me the impression that he's going to be someone who's going to make the same impact that Gnabry did when we got rid of him. There's something so special about him. I honestly, and him, you know, and Emil Smith Rowe, I think he should be getting more of a chance in the team. You know, they've proven themselves already. Well, hopefully, you know, with the minutes of coming on, they turned that, you know, created a goal.
We've effectively almost won the group. I think there's a bit of time delay. So they should. What I'm saying is, I'm supporting. They should start in midweek. Because there's no reason not to start. You know, go as youthful as you like in midweek, right? Even if we lose the game, what do we lose really?
Nothing.
So I think, and my argument there, and the reason I go, because I know we're not going to, well, we might sell Lacazette, but if you sell Lacazette, you need a direct replacement. And I don't think it's fair to put that on a youngster. So you need to spend. My argument there, Mike, just to go to you, is like I agree with Neil. I think maybe we should try to find a way of signing him. And I think sometimes we are reluctant to sell youngsters that maybe it's okay to say, I don't necessarily think they'll make the level. Now, maybe you think differently. I've never watched Eddie Nketiah and thought that's the future Arsenal striker. But Mike, what do you feel?
I don't know. I think I'll be a bit reluctant to let someone go who, at such a young age, he's actually found the net. You know, it's not like a, let's say, a Sonogo situation who had opportunities and he just never looked like he was gonna score a goal. Never looked like a player. You know, he was a postman for Fip's sake. You know, so you know with Nketiah, you know, you can't really, you know, in this day and age. A young English striker who knows where the gold is. He's got obviously got the record for England. I just think in that situation, he's the team set up for him as such. He's got a lot more talented and more direct players around him. I think again, it boils down to the what he's being asked to do. You know, the last couple of games, he's being asked to play out on the left or right or whatever. When you know that he's central, I think I personally would like to keep him to the end of the season at least. And Lacazette, I think, you know, he's on borrowed time, I think, because of his age and possibly because of the, you know, he won a last move for a big contract somewhere. But I also think Martinelli, you know, with him, he's fine because one, he can play centrally, and two, he can play out on the left. So I think there's a possibility that he could play Martinelli up front because he's got the attributes that, you know, I think that you would need. He's hard working, he's ridiculously good in the air for his size, we know that, and he's tough as old boots. You know, he's a bit like Neil. You know, look at Neil with his shoulders and everything, he's henched, he's like Neil. He's gonna be knocking defenders out of the way like no one's business when he comes back. So if he's doing that, you've got him up top, he's got the pace to get down, slide down the channels as well. He can hold the ball up. He can, you know, he can do all the things that I think Arteta's really looking for in terms of that link man, you know, in what Lacazette's doing. I don't think Lacazette's got the legs to do it. I think Martinelli definitely has. But obviously, we've got to take our time with him. We've got to make sure he gets past his the first big tackle with his knee and all that stuff. But I think, you know, obviously, but then if that's the case, if you put Martinelli in that situation, then that means you've got Balogun and possibly Eddie there, so and Lacazette. So maybe you're right. Maybe two do have to get moved off if Balogun does sign that contract. But for what he's been doing in the youth team, hat trick after hat trick, you know, again, do you let him go so easily? Or do you, if you do let him go, you've got to have some sort of
you've got to do a deal.
Yeah, you have to. You know, in terms of that, it's going to be interesting to see what happens because I hope he doesn't do the same thing with Balogun and what he seems to have done with Maitland-Niles. Chuck him in, let him play, you know, get him on side, let him get a couple of winners' medals and then just deep freeze him, you know. Yeah. And maybe if that's because of what he said about Ozil in the interview he gave, I don't know. But, you know, yeah, this like Neil said, this kid looks like he's a killer, basically. He looks like he's hungry. And that's what you want.
Yeah, he doesn't waste energy, I noticed as well. He's just he's very much sits on the shoulder and you know, holds his position and seems quite confident in doing that, whereas Eddie's more of a runner from side to side and chases every loss, every ball, which is not a bad thing either, but different. But again, like you said, how do you convince a player that's got 6 months left on their contract with Laka, Orba, Martinelli and Eddie in front of you that you're going to be giving them minutes. So I think the next two Europa League games are crucial maybe to that. I mean, maybe it's not enough anyway. I don't know. And there was something he said, Arteta was like, I want to give him more chances, but we have to be convinced that he's going to stay. So it's very much a sort of, you know, a back and forth, isn't it? But it's very vulnerable when you're into this last stage of his career. We're not going to get much for him either. And that's the real frustration again, is the handling of it should have been done earlier. Liverpool get 23.5 million for Rian Brewster. He's not played one Premier League or European game for them, not 1 minute. The only game he featured in was the Community Shield for him, and he 23.5 million for him. And I don't think he's featured much for Sheffield United. Maybe he has. Maybe he's come off the bench a few times, but I don't think he's featured much. So there you have it. You know, it's where's he going to go? That's what he needs to tell Balogun, is where is, if Rian Brewster, who I think he went to Swansea on loan, didn't he, and scored a few. But if he's going to a lower level Premier League team and not really getting many minutes, where is Balogun going to go? Maybe abroad somewhere, but we hopefully convince him to be at Arsenal and get those minutes there. But we've got to, I see someone leaving if we do that. Predictions, Neil, for midweek, and then just in case we don't do a midweek post one, which we may not, for the North London derby on Sunday, I presume. Go ahead.
I hope we've got fans, haven't we, Vienna?
You're there, fans. I'm there, Mike's there. Yeah, we've got 2,000. Yeah,
peasants like me with the silver memberships, we don't get chosen. You know, it's only the premium ticket holders. You know,
my brother cancelled my red membership, so I've got no chance ever again. Which is looking like a blessing at the moment. But go on, yeah, carry on.
I think I really hope, because obviously now we're through, we've qualified. I hope it gives the whole youth a chance. So I really want to see. I want to see 11 different players, all fresh youngsters, up for it, because we've got nothing to lose. Certainly Balogun and Emil Smith Rowe have to play. I thought Nelson and Willock were outstanding in the last Europa game, really played well. So I want to see a complete change, but I'll go for it. I think they'll be up for it. There's no pressure on them. I'll go for it. 2-1 victory, because I'm going to see some wholesale changes, I think, in that game. There'll be a little bit of inexperience. I'll go for a 2-1 in that. Sunday, well, when the pod started, I was going to go for a very optimistic 1-1, but I'll go for a shocking 2-1 win to us, and I will go with Aubameyang scoring.
Wow. All right, mate. It's too late at night for you. Mike, what about you?
I agree with Neil with the lineup. Hopefully he has a sprinkling of youngsters with some of the experience, obviously, in midfield. I think it'd be good if he... I'd like to see Aziz play. I probably wouldn't start him, but it, why not? You know, we're through and qualified, so maybe someone like Aziz alongside Xhaka, who maybe is a bit more security, because I think we need to have Anneni ready to go in the derby. We need to match him up with their running power in the middle there, because if we don't, then we're in big trouble. So I'd say 1-0. I'd say it'll be squeaky 1-0 against Vienna. I'll go for Smith Rowe to score, because I think he likes to make those runs and get in the box. So I'd say Smith Rowe. And the derby, I'd say 1-1. I'll take a 1-1 at the moment. I'll go with Gabriel again from a set piece or corner.
Gabriel, yeah. That's the one area that might be a little bit dodgy, set pieces, I've noticed.
No, actually, let me change that. I'll change it to Willian, because he's got a little bit of a thing with Tottenham, so I'll go with him.
Oh, yeah, he does. Yeah, well, hopefully he's got to have some teams he has a thing with, because at the moment I don't know.
He doesn't do anything else.
Don't do anything. But he did create the goal. Yeah, did create the goal. It was a good crossing, to be fair to him. Got to give him credit. I'll go. You're all mental. So I'll go 2-1 with. I'll go 2-1 in midweek. I'll say Balogun. I'm really hoping for a basically Balogun, Ian Wright like performance in midweek, and I'd love to see him in the squad on Sunday, because I just think I'm not really convinced of any striking options coming off the bench, you know, at the moment. So I'd like to see something different. I don't know enough about him, but everything I've seen, you know, obviously at youth level,
positive.
Yeah, and then I'm going to be not so positive on Sunday. I think we'll lose 2-0, to be honest, quite comfortably.
Surprise.
Yeah, surprise. Yeah, I think we'll lose 2-0. I think it'll be quite comfortable. And I'd be surprised if we create much against them. They look horribly dangerous on the break, and they've got players that are really fast, and like they transition really quickly, and they've got athleticism through the middle of the pitch. It's everything that we don't like, basically.
Son always plays well against us, doesn't he?
Son's a ludicrous player.
It's whether we fall into the trap or not, whether we decide to sit and to just play do what they're going to do on the counter. Because if we
counter attacking football, yeah, go on.
Yeah, if we go out and we play, and like we did in the last when we lost 2-1 to them, you know, he'd done us, didn't he? He'd done exactly the same thing where we had the ball and we looked like we were Lacazette scored, and then we gave the ball away, and then they'd done us at the set piece. I think on Sunday, Mourinho's going to do the same thing again. He's going to want us to have the ball and then hit us on the counter. But if we do it and sit in there and say, no, come on, you break us down, then we can possibly do it on the counter. But again, if it depends, you know, knowing us on the counter is having 20 passes on our half and then hit it forward. That's our counter attack rather than it being bang.
I think they've struggled more at home. And the reason they've struggled more at home is the onus is on them to take the game to the team. Yeah. And
we need to sit in. We just need to sit in.
Everything indicates that we have to go back and revert to a back five. Niles left wing back. Play your three centre backs with Gabriel central, Tierney left, Holding right. Pick two midfielders out of the three that you've got. Elneny being one of them, like you said, Mike. I agree. And personally, as much as he's off form, but so is everyone. I would play a front three of Saka, Laka and Aubameyang, because Lacazette, we also know, he turns up in these sorts of games. Do you know what I mean? Like he does turn up in these sorts of games. He did last season against them, didn't he, with the goal? So that's what I would go with. And all of those players, I wouldn't have anywhere near the team. Maybe Niles, because he's not played much, but anywhere near the team in midweek, to be honest, because I don't really see what it does for him to play in that sort of game, in that environment at that point. Don't really see what it does for him. I think it's a long shot, but I think if we go there like this and we play a back four and we put Willock in, he's not going to start. There's no way he'll start Willock at White Hart Lane. I don't think he can do that. No. But so does he have another option there? If he doesn't, then he's going to revert. Now, he's got a job on his hand convincing the players about, you know, why he's doing that. But At this point, I think logic tells us that we've got to revert because Partey's not coming back into the team imminently, and we don't have that creative solution. He clearly doesn't have it in his mind or a way of doing it, and I just think that's what he needs to do. I'm not convinced he'll do that because I think he's going to be in two minds about it now. It's about how he presented it to the team. I bet you he presented it to the team like this was always part of the plan. Now's the time to switch the formation, boys. And if he goes back on it, he's going to look weak and feeble like Emery did. Mm. So I don't know. That's why I don't have a lot of hopes for either which way he does it. If he goes with the same formation, we're screwed. If he goes the other formation, we've got to convince the players about it. So I don't know. I'm worried about it. But we'll be sitting here hopeful and praying, because I'll tell you what, I would have taken the three home losses if I knew we were going to win this one on Sunday. I'd take the three home losses if I knew, for two reasons. One, I never really thought anything was in this Premier League season ever since we got bashed by Villa. And two, I'm very worried for the reasons that we can't mention. I'm very worried about what's going on down the road. So, well, what a lovely way to end it. Well, thanks, boys. We'll be back after the North London derby. Hopefully, something more positive to talk about than what we had this week. It won't take a lot, Arsenal. We're not asking for the world. Do you know what I mean? Just give us a little bit of hope. But thank you. Find us on YouTube. Get us to the 100 subscribers, please, on YouTube. Click the link, just subscribe, and then listen to wherever you want. And then we're on App Purely Arsenal FP and all your podcast apps, Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, and the rubbish ones as well. Neil Char, Michael Harris, thanks very much. Up the Arsenal. Keep the faith.
Pleasure.
No one else is going to.
Come on. Come on, you Reds.
Bye. Come on, again. Reds.